And we're back. This is Lee from Huntsville in for Phil here on Right Side Radio, where we're solid conservative and just plain right. I'm going to move on to a second dipper. We're looking at Title IX. I would say it's local. It's also state and national, the changes that are going to happen. I don't know how familiar you are, Big Rig, with the changes that are going to come and take effect on August, I believe, 1st with Title IX.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know what that is.
Well, Title IX was basically created in order for women to have equal access to things, sports, locker rooms, things like that. Title IX, I mean, it's more to it than that. I'm glazing over the top of it, but essentially just giving women access. That's why we have women's sports. And I think it's kind of funny that we're almost full circle that now women's sports is in question because men can come back into women's sports. Okay. That's why we got Title IX in the first place. So I don't know. The main changes that Biden instituted here, changing Title IX. So he just altered the existing document, right? So he changed sex to include gender and sexual orientation. But it also affects not just sports. Think about, say, in Alabama, and I know these are things that we've had state laws passed on, but of course the federal law is going to trump that, right? It forces schools to use the preferred pronoun and name of a student, even if the parents don't consent or are not even aware. And I don't like that. Yeah, I think as a parent, you deserve to have autonomy on how you raise your children. And I think that forcing parents and schools, I can't force parents, but forcing the teachers to, try to adapt to an ever-changing identity is a mistake. But that's part of this. It doesn't require any form of documentation. So they can kind of switch back and forth. A boy can be a girl for a month and then go back to being a boy and, gain access to female spaces, but then go back to being, I know. So, and to me, that's confusion. And we all know who the author of confusion is, and it isn't God. Mm-hmm. So it introduces confusion into the mix. They love to call it fluidity, but we also need stability, It's one of the most important things kids need. But it's on top of that, then you have the issue. They say, well, it's not going to specifically cause men to go into women's sports, but they're kind of being disingenuous there because it does allow those born biologically male to then become female. And it's specifically in there that there doesn't have to necessarily be puberty blockers or surgery or anything else. It's purely on how you feel. And that's just a dangerous thing when you're like, oh, well, they can go in, in middle school, by eighth grade, boys have kind of surpassed girls, right? In strength. And they're really hitting, most boys are starting to get, stronger, more testosterone, more, they're getting taller, definitely by high school. But if you introduce boys into girls' sports in middle school, it can, it can have some bad results. You can have injuries. You can have, and if you don't have a team, you don't have a men's team for something, say like volleyball. In Huntsville City, the middle schools have volleyball for girls. They don't have it for boys. You would have to allow them on the team anyway, however they identified. And it is just, I think it's a recipe for disaster personally. But I look at the changes upcoming from Title IX, and I think people don't understand how wide-reaching it is. And I know Alabama's in a lawsuit right now. Recently, you've had some states file to delay, file lawsuits, and federal judges have kind of put a stay on the order, but not in Alabama, not yet. And I was surprised at how many states had already done it, as opposed to, Alabama. We haven't reached that point yet. I think there's Texas and I believe Louisiana and Oklahoma. And, you know, there's a few that have had Kentucky is just the newest one, temporarily blocked it. I just find it interesting that we haven't gotten there yet. I hope we do. But before August 1st, I doubt it. I just wonder if people really understand what it means. And also understand that, you know, locker rooms, they're not going to be, you know, if a female identifies as a male, they're going to be able to use a locker room of their choice. And look, if you think about it this way, I know a lot of people say, well, oh, female to male, it's not a big deal. Oh, yeah, it is. Because you can't necessarily keep them safe in there. And you know how people are. When you start putting in different sexes into the locker room, there's going to be a lot of problems and shenanigans and people getting possibly hurt. And the coaches, you're going to ask a male coach to watch as a female undresses? That's not fair to ask of the teachers. That's not something that just is disastrous, if you ask me. And then vice versa. We've seen lately way too many female teachers having issues with male students, right? We certainly don't need to be putting them in locker rooms watching them undress. I mean, it goes both ways. So I think it's going to bring up some definite problems. We're going to come back on after this break and have a discussion with someone who is an athlete on how they think it's going to affect the athletics part. We'll be right back. We're back. Lee from Huntsville sitting in for Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, talking about Title IX. I'm going to read some text real quick. Jeff from Indiana says, just to show your point, he's talking about the Boys to Men. Just to show your point, my son's an industrial electrician working for a large company. And last year he had to start paying Social Security taxes in November because he had already maxed out at the threshold of $160,000. Yep, definitely. Electricians are in high demand, and I think they can get paid during their training even. It's a great job, and there's there's a shortage of them.
That's one of the best ones to get into nowadays.
Absolutely. I keep trying to talk to my youngest. I'm like, hey, what about an electrician? Or a plumber. He's like, no plumbing. So let's see. Scott from Somerville said, we have a chest deep freeze that my wife's grandparents bought in the 70s and it still runs like a top. That's awesome. He says it's a Maytag. Yeah. The old appliances of every kind I've noticed, you know, they were built to run, and nowadays they're just built to break down, it seems. I don't know. I give up on some of these things. The worst is the HVAC, because you get like 15 years max.
Yeah.
And those things are like $15,000 to get everything replaced. Oh, $1,000 a year. Awesome.
Oh, yeah. HVAC. That's another good trade.
Yes. Another good trade. You're right. Kim from Danville says, I am a former athlete and participant in multiple sports in both high school and college. I would hate to think my college ride wouldn't have been an option if we were competing with guys for the positions. Kim, you are 100% correct. And right now, they love to gaslight and say it's not happening. But there were girls not allowed to go in New Hampshire and up in New England, up in there. They weren't allowed to go to the championships because they didn't make the cut because there was two boys running in the girls' race, biological boys. In running, forget it. Biological boys are going to blow you out. And yeah, they did cut somebody's ability to get great scholarship because they couldn't go, you know, to the more advanced rounds. So yeah, it is happening. On that note, actually, I have got a caller. Y'all all know her. I have her on usually whenever I'm on here. My best friend, BFF D, and she was a collegiate national champion athlete, not just athlete, and junior Olympian, extremely accomplished athlete. And we're going to talk a bit more about the athletic side of these changes that are going into effect on August 1st. So, hey, D, welcome.
Hey, Right Side. Happy to be back.
So we're talking about Title IX, and I know you've recently started being a bit more active in the Title IX sphere. And I wanted to get your thoughts, you know, what you're doing right now, and just what can people expect on August 1st? I mean, some of the states are getting, you know, federal judges are putting stays on this. But so far, I think that's maybe like 8 to 10 states. So in a lot of states, those effects are going to go. The changes are going to go in effect August 1st. So I wanted to talk to you about what you thought that might look like.
Yeah, so I am getting much more involved than I have been. Good, bad, or indifferent, I kind of was sitting on the sidelines a bit, pun intended, to just kind of see how this was all going to shake out. Obviously, I was outraged at, you know, some of the instances of males competing against women in, you know, swimming and track and field and other sports. And even at the, you know, at the elementary and middle school level, it was starting to happen. And so I was, you know, outraged, of course. But I really, and you know this, I sort of had an epiphany about it. And the epiphany was that, you know, what if I were competing today? You know, what from my career would actually be erased? Would I have still been the first Black gymnast at Alabama? Would I have scored the first perfect 10? Would I have won a national championship? Would I have won SEC championship? Would I be an SEC legend, which just happened a couple months ago? You know what I mean? Like, would
yes,
any of
congrats.
This happened? Thank you. Would any of these things have happened if I had to compete against males? And for at least half of those accomplishments, I can resoundingly say that no, they wouldn't have happened. You know, it's interesting to me that anybody who, you know, a man pretending to be a woman, which I refuse to say the T word, I say men pretending to be women,
right?
That they, you know, they can just up and decide that because they just can't cut it in their sports competing against their own sex. By the way, there's not any genders. There's two sexes and zero genders. So that's why this language that's been changed in Title IX is so particularly offensive. One, it's an affront to God and God's creation. And then two, they are manufacturing once again and compelling speech and compelling thought by using the words gender identity in this as the clause in the change. And those two words mean that a lot of things can happen that are an injustice to women. And in my opinion, just represent a hatred of women overall. And so I, you know, with that thought in mind, I just kind of did like my whole career kind of flashed before my eyes and all 17 years of it. And I thought, what if I had worked those 13 years, right, to get to the point where I'm, you know, signing a letter of intent with Alabama and going to, you know, finish out my career there. What if it ended up being a 4-year retirement party instead of, record-breaking and record-setting 4 years for me? What if that had been erased? And that's not just a what if.
I think you would agree. Gymnastics is becoming very segmented. You now have much more individual. I would think, you know, these girls come in and they're specialists on an individual event.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right.
And you can have men come in.
That's exactly right. It really does. Gymnastics has kind of been, for lack of a better term, grooming itself for men to start competing against women on women's apparatus. Now there is men's gymnastics, and it is decidedly different from women's gymnastics. There's two events that are the same, which is vault and floor, but every other event is different.
Right.
And they are different based on biology. They're different based on science, how the male body is designed by God, and then how the female body is designed by God. Literally, the gymnastics equipment is based on science and based on biology. Well,
right.
Now that they are able to have specialists come in and compete on scholarship, by the way, a specialist who competes one or two events can get a full scholarship on a gymnastics team. And so now that they can come in and just compete the power events, vault and floor,
right?
Literally, women are competing for second. Women would be competing for second against any man competing on those two events. Period.
Right. Right.
It is, you know, the difference is in a floor exercise routine, they would have to do dance and tumbling. They would have to, have to incorporate music, which men's gymnastics does not.
Right.
So it would be, you know, it would be sort of imposing all of the things that make artistic gymnastics artistic for a woman, and having a man really come and just invade that. So gymnastics is kind of poised for this to happen. And so, yeah, it's not just a what if. But so with all of this sort of this huge thought coming into my head within a matter of seconds, I, through you and a mutual friend that we have, I, got connected with, a woman named Jen Say, who has been very active in this fight, even before the fight took this form.
Right.
She was the head of a major corporation and poised to be the CEO of that corporation. And because of her position on masking children during COVID, she was forced to resign.
Mm-hmm.
And I've known Jen Say since I was about 12 years old. She was a gymnast on the national team. We were competing at the same time. She's a little bit older than me, so I was a junior when she was a senior, elite. And but we were just a couple of years apart. So we competed. I saw her at competitions all the time. Well, we recently reconnected, and because of this issue, because of Title IX. And I told her, I said, what I've noticed that's interesting is there's a group called ICONS, ICONS. And ICON stands for the Independent Council on Women's Sports. And this was headed up by two amazing women, both of whom were collegiate athletes. And this group has assembled 16 women who are now suing the NCAA. They have filed the lawsuit against the NCAA for discrimination against women in women's sports.
Mm-hmm.
And this is huge. I mean, it's groundbreaking. And so Jen Say connected me with these two women who have done just amazing work in a very short amount of time. And so I am now a part of this council, and I am joining forces with them to fight the good fight with them. And, I don't consider this just an issue or even just a hill to die on. I consider this ministry.
Mm.
This is, if we're not representing God in everything we're doing, then what are we doing? And we absolutely should be. So I consider this my representation of the justice of God, of the divine right order of God, and in his infinite wisdom, the design of women and the design of men, by God. And that there isn't anything that can argue with that or be in contention with that. And I reject all suggestion to the contrary. So I'm aligned with this group. There's a couple of other things that I'm planning to do. And this August 1st thing, I think, is going to test the resolve of right. lawmakers, of university presidents, of school administrations,
right.
And the question, there is one question, and only one question. The question is, do you care about the protection of women?
Right.
And girls.
Right.
So I'm really coming from the vantage point of that, if we start letting men in locker rooms, and I'm not even going to say biological men, I'm saying men, they're men.
Right.
If we start letting men in locker rooms, and they're men, letting men in locker rooms and letting men dominate women in sports. I mean, and by the way, one of the women who's on that lawsuit that ICONS has filed against the NCAA is Riley Gaines, who has made, headline after headline. And she's,
right.
infamously was defeated by Leah Thomas in swimming. And she's, she's been a very, very astute advocate for this movement and this effort. And she's phenomenal. So she is one of the names on that lawsuit.
She's very,
so grateful for.
She's an amazing speaker. She's very gifted for her age on being able to speak out and be, she just says her piece. I love her. Okay, we're going to take a break, and you're going to come back on the other side, right, Dee? And we're going to discuss a little bit more about Title IX and the changes upcoming. So we'll be right back after this break. And we're back. This is Lee from Huntsville in for Phil Williams on Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. And we've been talking with my BFFD, talking about the changes upcoming in Title IX. So August 1st, we're going to have some changes. And thanks for coming back over the break, Dee. And I thought I might just kind of give you an overview of what you know, what they think the changes are going to be, and then you can kind of speak quickly to how you think it's going to affect collegiate level athletes. Like I said, August 1st timeline. There's an expanded definition of sex discrimination. So it includes sexual orientation, gender identity, and pregnancy. I'm not sure. I mean, how many athletes are competing pregnant? Not sure. But it's in there.
It's kind of a deterrent to maximum performance. But, you know, I mean, what do I know?
Just get up there and do that beam routine pregnant. That's not going to affect your balance at all.
Doesn't matter if you can't see your feet. It's all good.
Yeah. Still good. Just scramble that baby inside there like a, you know, bunch of eggs. But
rub some dirt on it. Suck it up.
You know, and there's, you know, they broaden the scope of potential wrongdoing. Like it's, I think it's going to really muddy up the waters when it comes to, when it comes to collegiate athletes. What do you see as the biggest problem, biggest downside of these taking effect in August 1st? Like I said, for at least probably 40 of the states, unless something happens from now till August 1st.
Well, I think the biggest downside is that it's going to have an enormous ripple effect. And it's going to start, you know, with one competition with one male athlete competing against a bunch of women. And then it's going to ripple into, you know, once they see that they can dominate, it'll sort of be infectious and catch fire and more males will want to participate. But the ultimate ripple effect, I think, that will happen is that women just won't want to compete anymore. Like it will obliterate collegiate gymnastics or collegiate athletics.
Right.
There will not be, the desire, to go and compete for second place. There will not be the desire to, you know, have this uneven playing field that cannot get even again. You know, without men being absent from it, and so I think that the ripple effect will be inevitably that women just will literally give up on their careers, which could then, you know, ripple to all the way back to when they, you know, when a person starts a career, which for me it was age 4. If my parents, when I first started gymnastics, knew that someday I was going to that I would be competing against males, they would say, find something else to do. Or, you know, we're going to pick up an instrument and learn how to play the flute or something like that. It would not, what I am naturally have a natural proclivity to do would have been thwarted. And I would not have been able to sort of see a God-given talent through to fruition. And so I think ultimately that's going to be the outcome, is that people who have a God-given gift to compete in the sport that they have been drawn to since childhood will not be able to see it through to fruition.
And I think too, like, who wants to put in that level of work? I know that, you know, in high school, you trained for a full year, 8 hours a day. You did 2 years of high school.
Well, I trained
in 1 year.
Whole career that long.
True.
Yeah. I trained my whole career that long, but we were training twice a day, every day. We had 6 a.m. practice and then we had after school practice, which could go until, you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock, and then homework, shower, bed, and start all over again the next day. That was my life. That was my childhood. That was my young adulthood. That was my teenage years. That was that was how I lived, and I didn't know any different. But if I had seen, you know, if all of that work and time and effort and, you know, working toward, you know, a level of mastery in a sport was going to be all for naught, because at the end of the day, in a competition, you know, somebody bigger, stronger, faster, who can tumble higher and do much more difficult skills, was just going to wipe the floor with me, then what's the point?
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know one person in any sport who's competing for second. So, okay, maybe gymnastics with Simone Biles, but that's it. But she's a woman. she's a superwoman, but she's a woman. But, you know, but I'm just saying, you know, the playing field is still level, with respect to sex and, you know, capability and, you know, what a person is able to do based on being a female.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, Serena Williams said it, she's off the record with it now, but at one point she was on the record by saying, I can't beat the lowest ranking male tennis player.
Exactly.
I just can't.
All right. Yeah. Well, that music means we gotta head to a break. But thank you so much for talking to us about this. This has been very eye opening. We'll be right back, folks.
Always a pleasure.
Bye bye. Hey, we're back. This is Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Lee from Huntsville filling in for Phil Williams, live from the Right Side studio, local, state, national, all the issues, solid conservative and just plain right. Excited to be here filling in for Phil. Hopefully I'm filling those shoes well. I don't know, Big Greg, am I acceptable?
Yeah, I think you're awesome. I think you do a good job.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Had some great texts today. Mike from Athens says, if there are no female athletes at college level, how do we staff the Olympics who don't allow men to swim against women? Yeah, that would that'd be an interesting question. I just say as a whole, how is this Title IX change going to impact the Olympics? And will it end up causing a change in their, you know, rules and regulations? I don't know. But I do think they're going in the right direction. And I think swimming as a whole has made a lot of changes. And I think now, I don't think they allow them in college sports anymore in swimming. But guys, this stuff can change in a heartbeat. And I just think we need to put down some real solid concrete rules about that to ensure that women's sports actually stay women's sports. Riley Gaines had a great quote. She said, women's sports is not the place for mediocre male athletes. And that's just the truth. And and the way she was looking at it, Leah Thomas, the man she swam against, was really lower middle of the pack in the male athletes. He wasn't high up there. I'd say he's mid. And he came over to the women's side of things and was immediately, number one. So I understand her quote. I think we have a call. Is this Jeff from Indiana?
It certainly is. How you doing, Lee?
Well, hey, I'll call you as Phil does. Hey, Jeffro.
Hey. Hey, y'all.
So where are you at?
In Alabama.
Where are you at? You got to tell us.
On the north side of Nashville. Oh. And it's getting crazy.
But that's pretty good for this time of day, right?
Yeah, it's not bad. As long as you get through there before, 3:30-ish, 4 o'clock, it's not so bad.
Good. We've all been praying for your wife. I hope she's doing better.
Yeah, thank you. And she is doing better.
Wonderful.
Just waiting for test results to come back now, though.
Well, pray for positive test results. We'll put the prayer army out there.
Appreciate everything everybody does.
Of course. So what are your thoughts on Title IX, the changes upcoming?
Well, I'm kind of on the other side of the thing here. One of my best friends has 3 daughters, mm-hmm. and now he has 2 daughters and one that thinks he's a boy.
Ah, all right.
And she's all in on this. She's had a double mastectomy
Lord.
And can grow a better beard than I can. So I tried my whole life to grow a beard. I can't do it, but she's got a nice-looking beard.
Well, maybe you need to get on some of what she has.
Yeah, I might need to.
Ask her to share. It's a little bit different to me, though. You don't see a lot of girls transitioning to men and then going into men's sports because they're just inherently going to be at a deficit.
You know? But what you do see with this new rules and everything would be a highly testosterone female in women's sports. I mean, this is kind of reminiscent of East Germany where, my name is Helga. And Helga's
we've already
got
seen
a 5
that. Yeah.
Shadow. Yeah.
Germans and Russians been doing that for a long time. But do you think that, but they do have to test them. Women can only have a certain amount of testosterone. So that I think that wouldn't, are you saying that once we have these changes, it might allow much more testosterone women to compete?
Well, I mean, if she's supposed to be a trans man, but it can only do women's sports. How would you not get off? You would not be able to get off your testosterone because otherwise you revert back to your natural state as a female.
I get what you're saying.
At some point,
interesting.
But, I mean, she was basically, almost I call her a pixie-ish. She was real thin, petite. And stuff as when she was a girl, and now she has you know, full beard and mustache, and she's really bulked up. I mean, you know,
interesting.
She's like, she looks like a, you know, like the East German women's weightlifters now, you know, how they used to be.
Well, you know, I didn't think about it that way, but I guess they would say, well, if you don't allow her to compete, since you're requiring people to compete in their biological sex, I guess, yeah, that's true. That could definitely happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that unintended consequence.
Yeah, she's definitely much, like I say, she's not fat. She's just bulked up, and she's just, you know, just solid now and big, where she was just real dainty and petite before. I mean, she's really bulked up and everything. So, and she looks like a man.
Well, I guess there can be unintended consequences. I didn't think about it from that direction. So thanks for bringing this up, because that is an interesting thought. If you're going to force them to be in the category of their biological sex, can you force them to have to stop taking testosterone? They're going to say that is, you know, harmful to their gender identity. I don't know. I guess we'd have to see a lawsuit and have them figure it out.
Yeah, that's kind of, like I say, that's kind of the angle I'm going through here. Just, you know, if you know, the men don't compete because they have testosterone and basically are men, but mm-hmm. then the women that's on the testosterone, they're going to be a little stronger.
Yeah, I don't think as strong as the men. I think even women on testosterone, you still had puberty as a woman. You didn't build the same muscle strength, I mean, I guess they could build a lot more muscle strength, but they still have the same frame and the same bone density and structure. This usually doesn't change it all that much. But yeah, I definitely think they would have an advantage for sure. Good point.
It worked for these Germans.
You are correct. They were big winners. Well, thanks, Jeff. I appreciate you calling in. Safe travels back home to Indiana.
All right. Thank you. You're doing a great job, Lee. I always appreciate listening to you.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Well,
have a good one.
Yeah, I didn't think about it that way. I don't know, Big Rig. Does that puts a slight wrinkle for me. I didn't think about it that
way.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of angles. I don't know.
I mean, they'll have to figure it out in court, I guess. But I don't know. I just look at this and like, why can't it be simple? Yeah.
It's not. Life's not simple.
No, definitely not. But yeah, we all saw those like in the 80s and 90s. Remember the Russians? Or when was it? It was the late 80s that we didn't compete because we wouldn't allow. I think there was issues with doping or whatever with the Russians. Mm-hmm. And so we competed without them. And then we refused to go to an Olympics as well. So I don't know. That's a hard one. Certainly nothing I can solve, but I feel like that we're going to have to get this figured out. I don't know. Competition has to be level for it to be. I just think we have to have fair competition, and women deserve fair competition against other women and other women who are not born male and other women who are not heavily in testosterone. I think we just have to have fair competition, and maybe it is forming a third league, a third, you know, avenue, if you will, for transgender participants. I don't know. It's a thought, and it's something we'll have to work out, because everybody does deserve to, you know, compete. I just think you have to figure out how. Jay from Hartzell says, I think the answer is clear. You revert back to biology. To me, it's silly to even be having this argument. I don't disagree. I think you do have to revert to biology. But all right, we are going to come back. And on the other side of this break, we're going to move on to a third dipper, talking about library lunacy. We'll be back.